I want to begin with a symbol on the side of the Salt Lake Temple, kind of show you where we're going today. On the west wall, on the west side, no, the east side, excuse me, on the east side, you'll find that symbol, very symbolic of so many things that happen in the temple. And so many things that we've tried to do in this class. One of these hands is mine. And when we talk about temples, when we talk about finding Jesus and even finding joy in our covenants, we need to understand what is the ask. And I want you to see, I wanted to spend some time pointing out what is the ask when you go to the temple. Because he is inviting you up to higher covenants. It is a house of higher covenants. And finding Jesus in the temple means willing to grab him and live those higher covenants. But the other hand is his. And what I want to do is end this semester with what does he pour out upon us as we are willing to grab his hand and keep those covenants? Because he's going to ask. We've talked about some very, very depth of your soul asks. Lay down your fig leaves. That's a very vulnerable thing to do. We've talked about seeing people in light of his atonement and all the asks. I'm willing, Lord, I'm willing, and I fully understand that you are asking me to come up to a higher, holier place. But I want to end with, what is his side? What are the blessings that he offers those who live those higher covenants? What are the protections? So that's what we did 2 weeks ago, is we started with the water outside as a symbol of the healing that comes. We talked about increased divine attention, that there is something about temples that bring increased divine attention. He'll answer your prayer wherever you are. But when you bring your problems into his house, you partner with him and make them his problems. There's something about his house that affords us increased divine attention. So in the spirit of that, I want to talk about one of my absolute favorite moments. And I don't know that you've ever relaxed your eyes and seen the symbolism. So let me point it out. I'd like to take you back to the first time you went through the temple. I love to be in the live sessions. I love to watch the people go through the first time because there is a beautiful moment and I want to harp on its symbolism. When you walked through the veil, when you were done at the veil and walked into the celestial room, I'm pretty sure I know exactly what happened next for every one of us. Abby's nodding. Tell me what you did as soon as you walked into the celestial room for the first time. Who was there?
You see all your family in white.
And who did you hug?
Your mom.
Who did you hug first?
My mom.
Who did you hug first?
Mm-hmm.
First person I hugged was my mom.
Mine was my grandma.
Grandma. I hugged my dad, but first it was my mom. Now, relax your eyes a little bit and see a deeper symbol. Whose house did you walk into? And who was there waiting to hug you? Today, I want to talk about one of the greatest blessings of going to the temple aren't the ordinances, but the presence. We go in there, and there's a mother and there's a father who are waiting. They are waiting to embrace you. Now, let me take you back to the dedicatory prayer. Let's go back to section 109, Doctrine and Covenants, section 109, dedicatory prayer. Again, this was given to us by revelation. The Lord is telling us about his house by giving this prayer. Joseph didn't come up with these words. The Lord gave these words. And I want to point out, I love how he organizes this. It's just this is just beautiful. He talks about building the temple. He talks about entering the temple, so coming in. There's some things you need to do in order to come in. So come in, enter. And I'm going to meet you when you enter. Let's talk about our entrance into his house. And then we worship in his house. And then he talks about leaving his house. You see the beauty of how this was organized? Come in, worship, and then go out armed. We'll get to that one soon. But I want to talk about this promise of what you're going to find when you come into his house. That thy glory may rest down upon thy people and upon this house, which we now dedicate to thee, that it may be sanctified and consecrated to be holy. That thy holy presence may be continually in this house. That thy holy presence, and I hope I'm not being inappropriate, but implied in that is hers. That their holy presence, parents who love you dearly, and you have finally come home, and they are waiting at the door, and they are there, that thy holy presence may be continually in this house. And I love this. All people who shall enter upon the threshold, the moment you step into his house, you may be constrained to feel his power. And feel constrained to acknowledge that he has sanctified it, that it is his house, a place of his holiness. Could we swap these two words? Do you think we could swap these two words? Power and presence? Do you think the promise of the temple is that all people who shall enter upon the threshold of this house may feel him there? He's home. You're home. You're home. Let me give you a reason to go to the temple. It's going home. Has anyone ever been far away from home, like a mission or school, and then you come home? Tell me about the feeling of entering the threshold of your house. And that's why we build temples. We can't quite go home yet. That would not be appropriate. Don't do it. So he builds a home here. And says, I'll meet you there. And if you're in Idaho, I'll meet you in that one. I'll just follow you around. And whichever one you go into, I'll meet you in that one. And if you come seeking him, you will walk into the house and know that he's there. That your home, that your father, your parents, just like your earthly parents, the moment you walked into that celestial room, there they were to embrace you. Your heavenly parents are there in that house ready to embrace you. And that's why we go there. Let me tell a very personal story. 2002, June, I believe. I think it was June. 2002, a very evil man broke into a home that wasn't his, put a knife to a 14-year-old girl. Whoops. He put a knife to the throat of a 14-year-old girl and took her from her house. Took her up into the mountains, did horrible things. She was 14. He was 50.
At the time, I had a 7-year-old. This was June of 2002. And what happened that night shattered her world. She had always believed that a little girl was safe in her bedroom, especially with her sister. And what did my daughter find out that night? All throughout the next day and the next weeks, what did my daughter find out? That little girls aren't safe in their bedroom, even if their sister is there. And can you imagine what that did to the world of a 7-year-old little girl? Shattered her world. That night, she woke up in a panic, crept into mom and dad's room, and slept on the floor. Now, let me draw mom and dad's room. Here's our bedroom. There's the door. There's the bathroom. Here's our bed. There's mom. And there's dad. Look at all the room mom has. Where do you think she slept? She slept right there. I woke up before she did, and I stepped on her. I stepped on my little girl. Didn't know she was there. The next morning, I stepped on her again. By the third morning, I was watching for her. And I avoided stepping on her. But every single morning, I woke up to a 7-year-old little girl sleeping on the side of the bed. I would tuck her in. I'd say, Brittany, we'll shut all the windows and doors. They didn't that night. They left a window open. We'll turn the alarm on. They didn't that night. We have a dog. They didn't. You know what would happen? If anyone came into our house, you know exactly what would happen. You are safe in your house. You're safe in your bed. And you're so much more comfortable in your bed, and I won't step on you. But every single night, at some point, she'd wake up in a panic, grab her pillow and a blanket, and sleep on mom and dad's floor. I have a 10-year-old that's doing the same thing. Now, I'll be honest, at first I wondered, why that spot? Why that spot? I thought maybe it was the corner. That corner is furthest away from the front door. An intruder would pass everyone else by the time they got to that corner. Is that what made her feel safe, was the corner? Why did she pick that spot? Where was she safe? Where was that little girl safe? And it kills me that not all little girls feel safe in their dad's presence, but that little girl knew that she was safe in her father's presence. Tell me how she slept. Even though it was on the floor, how did she sleep? Can you picture it? How did she sleep? At peace. She was safe. And then it dawned on me. That's why we build temples. That is why we build temples, is I want that feeling. I want to go somewhere with all the challenges that I face, with all the things that are going on in the world and all the heartbreaks and everything that breaks out here in the world. I want to go one place and feel what she felt on the floor next to her father. That's why we build temples. Is so that you can go be with your father. Now, we don't necessarily like to separate God and Christ, so let's not. Let me give you a couple promises. Let's start with President Nelson. In his second coming talk, do you remember what he said? Here is my promise. Well, let's read all of this. Regular worship in the temple will help us. In the house of the Lord, we focus on Jesus Christ. We learn of him. We make covenants to follow him. We come to know him. As we keep our temple covenants, we gain greater access to the Lord's strengthening power. In the temple, we receive protection from the buffetings of the world. We experience the pure love of Jesus Christ on our Heavenly Father in great abundance. We feel peace and spiritual reassurance in contrast to the turbulence of the world. See that? Brittany out there, Brittany next to her dad. Here is my promise to you. Every sincere seeker of Jesus Christ will find him in the temple. You will feel his mercy. You will find answers to your most vexing questions. We talked about that last week. Increased divine attention. And you will better comprehend the joy of his gospel. Go into the temple and you will feel constrained. As soon as you cross the door, he's here. He's here. I remember hearing a little child one time, his parents were going to the temple, and as they left, he said, "You tell my good friend Jesus hello for me." And his mom said, "Now, I don't know that we're going to see him in the temple." "Oh, no, Mom. If you look for him, you will see him." And I think there's something divine about that. Go there to be with Heavenly parents. If you go, you'll find him. Let me give you a scriptural reference. Turn with me to section 97. Doctrine and Covenants, section 97. Same promise. Verse 15, 97, 57, 15. "Inasmuch as my people build a house unto me in my name, in the name of the Lord, and do not suffer any unclean thing to come into it, that it be not defiled, my glory shall rest upon it. Yea, my presence shall be there, for I will come into it." Whichever one you go to. Oh, you're an expert. Okay, I'll meet in that one. "My presence shall be there, for I will come into it." And then this promise. "All the pure in heart that shall come into it shall see God." Feel constrained to acknowledge that he's there. He's home. And just like your earthly parents, they are waiting to embrace you as soon as you get there. Go there to be with him. Go there to do that. It is the one place on earth you are most safe. Whatever you deal with, go there and make it a place of his presence, a house of his presence, and I'm going there to be with him. To just sit and be with my parents. To hug them. I can be with him in my covenants. Now that opens up a whole nother door. Let's just go there now. Remember when we announced the Salt Lake Temple was going to go under construction and we wouldn't have it for a while? He said something in that promise that I want to read. So back to this one, remember where he stood? There's the picture of him. Anyway, the picture of him standing. He said, "My brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, when renovations on the Salt Lake Temple are completed, there will be no safer place during an earthquake in the Salt Lake Valley than inside that temple." And then he said, "Likewise, whenever any kind of upheaval occurs in your life, the safest place to be spiritually is living inside your temple covenants." So there's the idea. You take the temple home with you. And you make that a place of his presence, where he can be with you. I love that. Whenever any upheaval in your life occurs, the safest place to be spiritually will be living inside your temple covenants. It is a house of his presence. So let me extend an invitation. Going back to the dedicatory prayer, coming in, how you come in, how you enter. How you enter matters. So let me just leave you with an invitation. The next time you go to the temple, let me extend an invitation. And I'm going to do it through a story. I finally tracked this down to its original source. So this really was written by someone. This isn't just a made-up story. But I love this. I call it the Troubles Tree. Oh, sorry about the font. A carpenter I hired to help me restore an old farmhouse had just finished a rough day on the job. A flat tire made him lose an hour of work, his electric saw quit, and now his ancient pickup truck refused to start. While I drove him home, he sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me in to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree, touched the tips of the branches with both hands. When opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His tan face was wreathed in smiles, and he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a kiss. Afterward, he walked me to the car. We passed the tree, and my curiosity got the better of me. I asked him about what I had seen him do earlier. "Oh, that's my troubles tree," he replied. "I know I can't help having troubles on the job. But one thing's for sure, troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and the children. So I just hang them upon the tree every night when I come home. In the morning, I pick them up again." Funny thing is, he smiled, "when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there ain't nearly as many as I remember hanging up the night before." I would invite you to symbolically do the same thing when you walk into the temple. Find a tree and hang your troubles on the tree. Whatever you're stressed about, whatever you're worried about, whatever anxiety that you have, leave it out. Don't think about it. Don't let it stress you out. It cannot touch you in his house. Hang your troubles on the troubles tree. And then go in and be with your Father. Be with heavenly parents. And if you need an image, remember the time you were endowed and they were waiting in the celestial room to embrace you. Your heavenly parents love you more than that. And they are there to embrace you. And just be with them. Just be with them. You can pick up your troubles when you leave the temple. And I promise you, there will be a lot fewer of them when you go pick them up. Don't take them with you. Don't take them in. Let the temple be a place, a sanctuary, a refuge, the one place on earth where I'm safe. Where I'm free and I'm at peace. I bear you my solemn testimony that you have heavenly parents waiting in their house to embrace you every time you come. Just like going away. Those of you who served a mission, I know you met your parents probably at the airport. Imagine if you'd met your parents at your house. What would that embrace have been after 2 years or 18 months? And that's what it's like to go to the temple. You have heavenly parents who are waiting there to be with you. Go there and enjoy their presence. Is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.